Hey, everybody, this is Brie Bagwell with your Only Vans Breecap, and this week I'm joined by Madam Radar, which is a band made up of two married couples, Kelly Green on lead guitar, y'all, she slays, her husband Jace Cadle on rhythm guitar, Cody Lee on drums, Violet Lee on bass, and everyone sings and writes. Kelly and Cody are also brother and sister, so this band really has amazing chemistry and the coolest vibe. They're all good at everything except for math. Kelly jokes at the beginning if you don't catch that. They did end up selling out their album release party at Empire Garage in Austin, Texas this past May for their new record, Motel. And their producer, Steve Berlin, is a member of the band Los Lobos, but also has been a session musician in the studio for many amazing artists like Sheryl Crow and R.E.M., to name a couple. We also talk former projects like the Texas KGB, which is where I first saw Kelly and fell in love, and current projects like PAACK, P-A-A-C-K, which is an all-female supergroup that plays weekly at our favorite, the Saxon Pub. We give a shout-out to Ham, H-A-A-M, for providing awesome musicians with health insurance and so much more, Song Swans, and Dave and Rebecca at the Goose on Lime Creek for providing the amazing space in which we recorded this podcast. Go to madamradar.com for all the info on this great band, and please go check out their live show. And hey, Madam Radar, thanks for listening to Only Vans while you hit the highway. I sure love you.
Well, one of my favorite stories, do y'all know Ashlyn Schoenfeld, incredible
drummer.
One of my favorite things she's ever said happened to her was at a show, this guy came up to her and was like, "Man, you're such a good drummer. Like, if I closed my eyes, I would have thought it was a man behind the
camera." Oh,
and that's
God.
Just, it speaks so much. Like, it just...
Right. Yeah.
It's
right.
Like, you know what they're saying. You're like, thank you. You're saying that I'm good. But it's also like,
you're good enough to be a man.
Yeah. Thanks.
Oh, no.
Hey, everybody. This is Brie Bagwell, and this is my podcast, Only Vans, where I talk to my friends in my van. Speaking of geese, Kelly paints. Like, what can she not do? I almost canceled
math.
Y'all's podcast. How many geese are in that picture? But did you really paint that?
Yes, I did. We did an art show here, and I wanted to give them a gift for letting us use this beautiful space.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, what can I do? And it's funny, I was looking up geese, and I was like, you know, separate pictures, but I was like, this is them. Like, this is their geese bodies.
I know. They're very cute. I love it so much. I know the first thing that I thought about when we finished the Boone episode was that we did not talk about the goose, but I'm going to put it in the recap. Don't worry. But that was part of the deal was, hey, we'll give you some love in this podcast. We're going to use your beautiful space. And then I didn't even mention them one time. And I am sorry about that, but we're going to fix it. But I was also asking Dave, what necessarily am I promoting? Because what he does is just create this beautiful space for people like us to use.
Seriously.
So I can't really
advertise. The space promotes itself, yeah.
Well, yeah, but he doesn't open it up to the commoners.
Oh, fair. Yeah.
It's just for
weirdos
like us.
No, but for other musicians to have a nice place to get away and have such a beautiful view. We did a songwriting retreat here, and it was amazing.
Yeah. Did any of those songs make it on any of the records you remember, or...?
No,
I don't think so. I think we kind of forgot that we wrote them. We should probably look back into all those.
Yeah, wow. We should.
That's a good problem to have, you guys. Too many songs.
Yeah,
a lot of writers.
I love that. How many songs are on the new record?
12.
That's, oh my gosh, like old times?
Yeah,
he does math, yeah.
Yeah, he does math. I got it. And I can't believe you guys are here. You guys are having a band child today, this week, Friday. Your
That's
new
right.
record comes out. This will be out later, obviously. But at the time of this recording, this crazy band came here like 3 days before your record came out. I feel so bad. We could have moved it.
No, honestly, this is like we're doing a bunch of stuff this week, so just it's okay. Like we're already like in talking mode.
Okay.
Watch us fumble now.
No, it's gonna be great. And it's gonna
words.
Is it already sold out for Saturday?
Not yet, but we've done really good so far, so I know it's gonna be great.
That's awesome. Can you tell me about Empire Garage? I've never been there.
It's a different venue than we would normally go to.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's like right in the heart of downtown. They have two gorgeous stages, one on the inside, which we've played a couple times before, and then they have the big outdoor, like I think like 1,100 person capacity, just a nice, it's open garage door, and then a huge outdoor space that's covered. And yeah, just super cool lighting, like a really good dedicated team there.
Yeah, it's our first time like trying the full show there. I think we've did like a show for like South By or something there, but yeah.
That's so exciting. And for those of you listening, we're talking about a venue in Austin, Texas with Madam Radar, which I was, oh my gosh, I was going to look up the word. And I didn't look it up
palindrome?
Before. I was going to say onomatopoeia. That's not right. That's not right. Palindrome. And then I was thinking parallelogram. That's not right either. Palindrome. And then I thought, I can't ask them about the name because that's probably the, you know, the regular podcast question. And I should know, but I don't actually know.
We don't have an origin story. We were recording an album and then I think Violet was maybe mentioned, or maybe Gordy mentioned, I don't know, one of them, our producer or Violet, had a conversation maybe about like, is the name the Texas KGB, like the forever name? Because people were giving us like, you know, it was kind of becoming a little political. We were like, that's not us at all. We're just here for a good time. And then we wrote a list of like 600 of the worst band names you've ever heard.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, I'd love to hear some
of
those. Yeah, I think
Gordy had suggested at one point Evil Olive. And we were like, ew, what? Why? And he's like, well, it's a palindrome. I think that's kind of cool.
Oh.
And we're like, okay, that's actually a fun concept. Let's play around with that.
Oh, my But gosh. We almost named the band Mama Kisser.
Yeah.
My mom made out with a fan. She's going to kill me. I shouldn't say this. My mom kissed one of our fans after a show, and we were like, Mama Kisser is what we were calling him. And then we were like, wow, that'd be a cool band name. And then we realized, oh, it sounds kind of like, you know, a fun way
mother,
of saying
mother. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
but then,
right.
But then it also sounded a little incest, and we were like, yeah, let's get away from that one.
Yeah, we've already got brother, husband, sister, wife going on in this band.
That's, oh, I know. Speaking of, if you don't know, they are all married, not to one of, that was
not. All four of us. It's very progressive.
We're coming to you from Utah. Yeah. Where is that? No. And so, and then you are brother and sister.
Yes.
So, sorry, Kelly and Cody. Do you have any more siblings with a K?
No, they got just it right us. After Cody.
Because I have I'm Brian, Brandon, and Brianna, and our middle names all rhyme. We're all Ray Jane.
My parents were like, "Let's not make a third; it'll get weird and racist."
Oh, right.
Because we're K's.
If
you don't know, Cody spells his name with a K. Yes, that's what that joke was going. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm trying to be better about stuff like that, and that's why I have to do the recaps now to clarify all the things that I did not. Clarify. And Jason Violet, thank you guys. You guys are the coolest looking band. Every time I see you on Instagram with your outfits, and you'll have a leopard theme or a leather theme, and it makes me so happy I show my band, because sometimes at Steamboat this year, they all wanted we wore matching jackets, and everybody kept saying, oh, you're in a girl band, you wear matching. I'm like, they wanted to do this.
Aww.
I also liked it.
I love a good matching outfit. It's nice to walk into a room and people don't question, like, oh, what, it's like you look and they're like, oh, you guys are clearly together. What's happening over here? Yeah, team colors.
You're the band. You guys always look like $1 million. And I love a band that looks like rock stars. It makes me happy. And even when you guys walked by today, I was like, well, they're here looking like $1 million. That's how I want my bands in Austin to look. And I'm very proud of you guys, because cutting through in the Austin music scene is probably one of the hardest things. I don't know, hardly, there's not that many people who can do it. I mean, to be considered one of the premier bands in Austin is, I mean, that's amazing. I'm so proud of you. And that's what you guys have done. That's the hardest place to do that. Do you agree? Well, no, I know that was very now brag on yourself, but please do.
Well, now we just got to convince the rest of the country. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm working on that too. And it's very, very hard because no matter what you spend on ads or whatever, when you go tour outside of Texas, you can spend all the money on ads that you want. If they've never heard of you, they're not necessarily going to venture outside of their
house. Definitely like, if someone sees us live, we'll go someplace, maybe there's five people there. We're like, okay, well, we can at least work with this. The next time it turns into 30 from there, you know, and it just keeps building. We just really have to get in front of a few people to show, you know, it doesn't matter where you go. Cause sometimes we end up in the weirdest places, you know, trying to pass through to somewhere else where you're like, oh, I know we're going to make money over there. Let's try some stuff over here. Oh, okay. Like there's a couple homeless guys like asleep in front of the load-in door. Like, do we just walk over them or do we ask them, will you help us carry some stuff maybe?
I know it's so, I mean, the burden of ticket sales, but I just did 8 different states last year, and there was one that I think there was 8 pre-sales.
Yeah.
And I was, oh no, you know, what do I do? Well, I went back, and there was 30, like you
it
said.
It grows.
And it doesn't sound like that's impressive, but it is if it's multiplying by 3.
Well, especially like in places you've never been, you know, some mm-hmm. people aren't in, you know, I mean, Facebook and all, like Instagram, all algorithms are so tricky with musicians now that mm-hmm. it's like they want you to pay for everything, do all that. We try all of that, but word of mouth is really still like the best thing. Or just, you know, someone sharing like a clip of a video or something with their friends, not on the internet, just, you know, sending a text or being like, hey, these people are coming to town. They're from here. Check them out. That has been the best thing for us.
Yeah, we're definitely a word of mouth grassroots has been our biggest strength, because once you're in and you see it, you're in. And that I just want to do that everywhere now.
That's yeah. And that's awesome. And shouldn't that be what it's about?
You would hope.
Yeah. I want you to know, I was telling Jace, like when we first came to Texas, because Cody, Jace and I are all from Georgia. Violet is true Texan. But when we first came to Texas, I was like looking up people around Austin. I was like, who's like the person here? And you were the first name I found.
Oh no.
Yeah. That's it was so you and nice. Sunny Swinney. And I was like, but I like instantly became, and then, you know, years later we got to meet through AJ and I'm like, I got
it.
To be in one of your music videos. I don't know if anyone else knows this, but
yeah,
I was a bad girl.
I love that music video. And then we've gotten to hang out more and more. And every time I hang out with you, I mean, AJ knows too, but you, I'm sure, know every time I leave, I'm like, we need to hang out more. You're so much fun. You're so talented. I love watching your guys' band. It's just, it's unbelievable musicianship. And I don't know how you do it with two girls in the band. There's like a girl bass player and a girl guitar player. It's
yeah,
like,
right?
They're slaying.
There's really four girls in the band.
No, I love it. And everyone sings. Everyone sings harmonies. Yeah. It doesn't seem at all like you guys have any sort of tension when it comes to sharing parts or harmonies or anything. Can you describe that a little bit? It's just a natural.
We're so open to it. It's all so collaborative because we just want to make it the best it can be. And we all have different ways to contribute that, you know, high tides raise all ships kind of thing.
Plus, respecting each other helps. Mm-hmm. You know, I think everyone respects each other's musicianship and stage presence, and there's no one really up there trying to outshine. You don't have to. You know you're going to elevate with everybody.
Yeah.
And it's also one of those things when you have multiple singers, you can really present the best of what you have to offer in that moment versus being like, here's a ton of songs. Oh, maybe these ones aren't as good as like some of these other that you know, like the crowd responds to or that you are really, you know, passionate about. So when you get to share the load like this, it's like, oh, now I really get to be the best version of myself when it's my turn. Or and
with the hits.
Yeah. And this album, we were really collaborative, and really there's a lot of songs that we're all singing on, and it's really cool. But Violet and Cody are definitely like the reason our harmonies are so awesome. They have such an incredible ear for that. They really have a good talent. Jason and I are very self-taught, and you know, we're here for the ride.
I call myself a campfire harmony singer. Paul, because he's so good at it. And my boyfriend's just amazing at it. So, and I say, around a campfire when everyone's drunk, my harmonies sound good. But I don't necessarily want to be singing harmonies in the studio. It's kind of my nightmare, especially now that I've done it with so many people that are really good at it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh no, I'm even more self-conscious of it. I'm like, oh, let's let you do that. Like, no thanks. That's awesome. So you wrote all the songs together, or are they some separate writes? Or
there's some separate writes, but we were really collaborative even on those. But definitely we wrote 4 songs like a week before we went into the studio, and we all had a part in them, but really Violet and I sat down and wrote the core part of a couple songs. And it was really cool because we've been writing together a little more, and it finally feels like we've gotten really comfortable in that. So I'm excited, you know.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Yeah.
And can you, I mean, I think it's already out of the bag who produced it, right? So you can talk
about it. Yes. Steve Berlin and Michael Brower, mixed it, and he did such a good job.
That is so exciting. I mean, I know him from Los Lobos, of course, but did you do it also at finishing school?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. It was kind of weird to go back and not work with Gordy Quist from the Band of Heathens, because he's been the producer of our last 2 albums. But we're so comfortable in the space, and it was like going home, you know. But Steve, when we asked him, we're like, oh, what studio do you work out of? And he said that. We just kind of laughed. We're like, yeah, I've been there.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And that's also nice of Gordy to let you bring another producer in there. That it's the same thing of letting musicians all, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
I said all tides rise high ships. That's not how that goes. That's too much coffee for me.
Yeah, at first it felt kind of like making a record at your ex-girlfriend's house. You're like, this is kind of weird. Like, what's going on? But then it's like, it's not like we went there maliciously or even like we have any problems with Gordy. We love him and everything we've done with him. we were just like looking to try some new wheels out, you know, and then it just so happened we had to be right in the same space. So we walked in there the first day and Gordy's a huge coffee nut first and foremost. Like, if you ever watch this man make coffee,
he's
like
the Walter White of coffee. Like,
he's a freaking scientist. But watching, like, we walk in and he's there and he's like, oh, hey. And he's just like stirring the coffee. He's like, you want me to make you a latte? So, how'd you guys get in with Steve? And we're like, hey, buddy.
Oh, that is
but
so
he's,
funny.
He's just one of the best people on the planet. I love Gordy Quist so much.
Yeah, Gordy's great. And it's very funny. I'm so glad we're talking about him and finishing school, because I had Bart Crow on my podcast and it comes out Bart's next week. And Bart and I could not remember the name, the finishing school. and we were just like, and we both had been on the road and we were just tired. And we're like, Gordy, what's this finish something, whatever. So I'm glad we're giving it appropriate love, because it's an incredible studio.
It is a great
Austin
studio. And if you're looking for a place to go, like, that's one of the best.
Okay, good. He's got to forgive me now.
Yeah.
Sorry, Gordy. No big deal. And Steve, so did you just coldly reach out to Steve? How did that go down? Because I feel like sometimes people talk about producers in terms of, oh, they would never, you know, or whatever. And honestly, sometimes people are so pumped to go work on a project that they really love, and that, you know, you don't have to have a major record label to get somebody like Steve Berlin. Like, that's so exciting that he's, you know, doing something with such a cool band.
Yeah, I think he and our manager go way back. They've worked on several projects of other bands that he works with in the past. So he was like, hey guys, I have an in with Steve. I'm going to reach out and send him you guys and see what he thinks. And instantly, Steve was really receptive to us. He loved all the multiple perspectives, all the harmonies, just saw a lot of potential in what he could work with us. And
he came to see like one live show. And then
that was fun. Violet's bass string broke during like
what?
Her low E.
Violet, why don't you tell the story?
The important bass string broke.
Oh no.
And it was really great to know that Steve Berlin got to be there for that. Like, that was wonderful. I didn't have a backup, no backup string, so I had to
play a whole show with three strings. But because Steve's such a pro, he's not going, oh, that bass player's playing kind of funny. He knew immediately. It was like, that was damn impressive.
Oh, that's incredibly impressive. And also, every musician, no matter what happens, like, I've when stuff like that happens, I'm so frazzled that I couldn't have fixed that problem in the moment.
Especially, like, you want to think about, like, math? I'm not good at math. I look like I would be, but I am not.
Hey, this is Bree Bagwell, and if you want to listen to this podcast early and ad-free, subscribe to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/BreeBagwell.
Howdy, y'all. It's Bree Bagwell, and I know y'all support the people who support me, so let me tell you about Deep Ellum Brewing Company. Born and raised in Deep Ellum, Texas, Deep Ellum Brewing Company has really made its mark on the beer world. Known for its flagships, Dallas Blonde and Deep Ellum IPA, they put boring beers to shame with a full lineup that's unapologetically not brewed to style. My personal favorite is the Dallas Blonde. It is so easy to drink. I just took it home for the holidays, and my whole family was, like, obsessed with this beer. No joke. They drank it all. Thanks a lot, family. So head over to deepellumbrewing.com to open the beer vault and give your fridge what it deserves. And you'll see why love runs deep for Deep Ellum Brewing Company. Available in Texas and Oklahoma, side effects may include severe happiness. Deep Ellum Brewing Company products are for individuals 21 and older, and we encourage drinking responsibly.
Are you ready to take your merchandise to the next level? Well, just ask me who I use, and that is CH Lone Star Promo. They specialize in screen printing and direct-to-garment, embroidery, laser engraving, anything promo-related, they can do it. Step up your merch game now with CH Lone Star Promo and tell them Bree and Whiskey sent you.
Hey everybody, this is Bree Bagwell with Only Bands Podcast, and I want to point you in the right direction for content creation. My friends at Release Rocket Media are the best, Shelton and Ryan. They can do any sort of videos you want. They do all the audio, all the editing, stuff that I hate to do, they just do it for you. So if you're an artist or a business, it can be anything and you need content creation, trust me, Release Rocket is your go to releaserocketmedia.com.
And so having to like do that math, like transpose it to different strings like that, that I don't normally use and sing was really hard. So I don't even know if that was a good show or not, but we did it.
It was a good show.
No, that's a testament to your musicianship, really, truly. Because even today I recorded a song and it's in B, but I just put a capo on my guitar. So sure, I was like, I'm just playing an A on the piano. I can't possibly. And now I feel really bad about myself not being able to do it. I should have really been able to play. But B is not the best key for
B
piano.
B can be really a B-I-T-C-H.
B is for bitch.
I love it. Well, I love if my producer's a female bass player, and I think it's the coolest thing. And I always, her and I have had a lot of conversations about it where, no, I'm just a good bass player. It doesn't have to be about being a female, but I think there is just something really cool about a lead guitar player and a bass player female. But it is because of the fact that it's not, it doesn't happen a whole lot. Yeah. And so,
well, one of my favorite stories, do y'all know Ashlyn Schanefeld, incredible drummer. One of my favorite things she's ever said happened to her was at a show, this guy came up to her and was like, "Man, you're such a good drummer. Like, if I closed my eyes, I would have thought it was a man behind the keys."
Oh,
and that's just, it speaks so much. Like, it just,
right. Yeah.
It's
right.
Like, you know what they're saying? You're like, thank you. You're saying that I'm good. But it's also like,
you're good enough to be a man.
Yeah.
Thanks. Oh, no.
But I'm sure he meant well, but it's just the perfect story about what it encompasses, what it can be like sometimes to be a woman in this industry.
I mean, we walked into a bar one time as the Texas KGB, and obviously that was her namesake at the time. And she walks in first, and the first guy in there goes, "Are you the tambourine player?"
Right.
I was just like, I actually don't think I could play a tambourine.
There's so much math in that, actually.
Yeah, it's
right, that's so strange. Rachel came on stage to play a song with us at the Hotspot in Cedar Park, and she walked on stage and I, you know, took the bass and played a song. I said, "This is my producer," and this guy in the front row goes, "That's your producer?"
Like, like she could do both things?
I just couldn't believe that the way that she looked made her not a producer.
How does she still have time to cook and do laundry? Yeah,
can she make a sandwich while playing that bass? That's so strange. But I don't even really want to have this conversation too, because a lot of times when people say, you know, it's tough for a female in Texas country.
It's just hard for musicians, dude. Totally. The whole thing is like, it's like female, male, whatever. We're all here just trying to do the damn thing. So
yeah. And it's
but it is awesome to see, and I feel more lately that I have been seeing a really positive representation for females in music, and like people like Grace Bowers, that young female guitar player. I don't know if you're familiar with her. I think she's like 18 or something, but she's everywhere right now, and I feel like that's cool. It's like, good for you, girl.
Absolutely. I think there's more representation than there ever has been, which is a step in the right direction. And the more people see, you know, even our tour manager's a woman or whatever, so the more people see it, the more normal it gets, and then hopefully we won't even be having to talk about it someday,
right?
Which would be quite lovely. So I didn't know you guys have, is the manager new?
Yeah, Justin, since like last October, I think.
Okay. Good, great.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
I think a manager, when you're so in it, you lose sight of the bird's eye view of your career, right? And
absolutely.
So it's so nice to have somebody kind of watching from up here. Is that kind of how that's been?
Definitely, because we're like, I mean, obviously we live for the live show and traveling, but we get caught in projects where we're like, oh, we're doing this, we're doing that. And you forget like, oh yeah, like there's a whole other world of things we need to be focused on. And he's really, our demographic was overwhelmingly male. And that's something we've been really working on this last year, is like just getting more females to our shows. Cause it really is like, I mean, we're a family band and music's for everyone. So
yeah.
I think men do come to us a lot because there's a lot of lead guitar and harmonies and stuff. It's kind of like, you know, based in classic rock, but we're really not a classic rock band. We're so much more than that. And I don't know.
Yeah. What genre would you say, or how do you describe, especially with the new record? We were talking with Boone about just how genre, the lines are so blurred, and that's so beautiful because you don't have to be Texas country or red dirt or even country or Americana. But now I'm not sure. I have to say that I'm something, and I'm struggling with what that is.
Yeah. We get Americana a lot. Rock Americana, alt Americana, but we change our face every song, and that's how we like it. And I get that for the industry, they go, that's hard for us. We need a box to fit around this, but make your hard job easier. I don't know, man. Like you should be excited by the potential of something that doesn't, like, I get bored if I see a single artist up on stage doing the show again and again and again. After five songs, I'm like, I kind of feel like I know everything you're going to throw at me tonight. Mm-hmm. And
that's not everyone, obviously, but there are some people that fall into that, like where they go really genre writing, where you're like, oh, it's all kind of the same tempo. It's you know, it's like, oh, here, oh, and now here comes the bridge. And, you know, it's like, that's fine. It's cool, especially for one or two songs. But all night long, it's like, I do like to see a little variety. And for some people, this definitely could maybe be too much for them. Maybe they're like, whoa, like my head's turning every song. Like I would like to just, you know, focus on one thing. But I think overall, the people that see it really enjoy it because it feels fresh constantly.
You're keep them on their toes genre. Yeah. Whatever that is.
Yeah, right?
I like it. And I'm here for it. And I think... are you touring for the record, or are you going to...
Yeah.
By the way, it's called Motel. I haven't said that. I keep forgetting.
The album is called Motel.
Motel, 12 songs. It comes out... So that would be May 16th it comes out.
Yes.
So it'll be out by the time this is out.
Yay.
You can go... You can hit pause and go
stream
listen to the whole thing.
It.
Is it... Are you putting it on...
Everywhere.
What are you printing stuff on now? What do we print stuff on now? Are you getting vinyls or...
We have CD and vinyl... For a EP we are in the middle of making, we're talking about doing like a book, just to make it as weird as possible, something that you scan a code, listen to the song while you're reading about the song.
Love
just
that.
Something more interactive, because physical media is hard these days for music. Like, a lot of people just don't have CD players. If you're a vinyl collector, then you'll get the vinyl, but what do you do for everybody else? They're just going to listen on their phone. But how do we capitalize on that?
Yeah, that money, that revenue stream we're really missing. I just remember... I mean, I just can't even imagine if it was still the way that it was with CDs, how much more money we would all have. Hmm. It was just our biggest thing every night.
I just like having something tangible to look at, too. Like, you experience the music that much more on another level when you're holding it and looking at the art and reading about it. And I think it's just kind of lost on our generation.
Yeah. It's our face. It's something for people to have signed. I mean, it was all the things that were great about it. And of course, vinyl is amazing, but pulling the trigger on those first vinyl orders.
I know. And they took so long to print that it's really, there's no guarantee when they're going to print because things get pushed back all the time. Like ours even has been pushed back. So we're like, okay, they're not going to be here in time for the actual release date, but which is fine, you know, we'll just do pre-orders at the show, but it, you know, it's definitely a wait and a gamble when you do vinyl.
Oh, I know. And then to mail out the pre-orders, I love know. The money of the pre-orders.
I'm the worst at mail outs. People will send me messages like, hey, it's been a month, and I'm like, I'm sorry.
I know.
It's coming.
I know.
I just don't go anywhere near post office, I guess. Or maybe I do, and I just, you know, like...
It's just, for some reason, the worst task. So I finally have someone who... The people who print my merch fulfill my orders now.
Oh.
And it...
Teach me your ways, Brie.
Well, it has been lovely to get that time back, but I don't really advertise it as much because I forget about it.
Yeah.
And I miss the days of saying, oh my gosh, these new shirts came in, and people would... text me and be like, I need, and I would make $500,000 in a day on new stuff that came in. I would spend all day mailing, but you could make quick money. But having my time back has been very valuable, and CH Lone Star does a great job. So, and they have all the options. So you can, I'm giving them, but anyway, they did sponsor the podcast, but I do just really like them. you can get a design on all these different color t-shirts without having the stock because they print them on demand. It's pretty,
that's
pretty
great. We've been talking about doing something like that. I feel like it's time.
I'll put you in touch.
Yes,
but,
please.
But I forget to advertise it because it's money that I don't see immediately.
Just pause this right now and
BrieBagwell.com/shop. No, this podcast is not about me. Or is it? But wait, so I asked if you were going to tour around it, and then I interrupted myself.
Yes, we are planning on the funny thing is my mom had she's having her 60th birthday, so we're doing an album release show in Austin, Houston, and Dallas. Mm-hmm. And then we're immediately going on an 8-day cruise. And I'm like, who does that? I guess we are. We're like, let's do all this work and then go on vacation.
Well, you should. That's
and then we're going to be traveling. So yeah, it might be great because we will be traveling all over the country later this year. So.
Oh my gosh. Where are you? Do you have a booking agent though? Who's?
Yes. He's actually our manager also. He reached out to us to be our booking agent and then realized we didn't have a manager. And he was like, oh, hey, actually, like this could work out great.
That's really smart to have those in the same human being.
But we've been doing a lot of Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, and we're going to be adding, I guess, more Nashville, and then Colorado, and hopefully Chicago too, and then just kind of everywhere in between.
Yeah, y'all would do really great up there. I feel like sometimes I'm a little bit too sad for some of those places when I went by myself on an acoustic run, and I was like, oh no, it's really snowy and icy in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I think the last thing that they needed was more sad songs, and I brought that to them. Sorry,
oh, nice.
Minneapolis. But they need some upbeat, some like great guitar work and a really fun band. I think people crave that in that part of America.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, no, of course. Well, I'm so very excited for you, and I wish I could be at the Empire. I'm so sad.
It'll be fun. Well, you know what? One of these days, I'm sure we will end up at some festival or on a bill together, and I look forward to that day.
Absolutely. Can you talk? Do you want to talk about PAC while you're here?
Yes. I mean, my gosh.
Might as well.
Violet and I are in another group.
Violet. You guys
mother,
are the
sister,
cutest.
Mother, sister, brother, husband, woman, child.
Yes, PAC is made up of Paige DeChasse, Andrea McGee, and Carrie Hudson, and also the two of us. And we mainly just do a residency every Thursday at the Saxon Pub from 6 to 7:30. It's a free show. It's just, it is like not rehearsed, and it is so funny, and sometimes people are crying, but everybody leaves. It kind of feels like church in a way. It's this wild community. It's packed every single Thursday, and then occasionally we'll go do something like play Moody Center and open up for the Doobie Brothers or something.
Right. Something
just some random.
Incredible.
You know,
yeah. Oh my gosh, that's so fun. And Andrea is amazing.
Yes, the whole band is, they are all... There's not, you can't say anything bad about any of them.
Yeah, Carrie,
they're so kind and talented.
I got to spend some time with her finally on the cruise.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. She's so great. I have this amazing video of her where I start singing Celine Dion like across the cruise ship, and she's in the back singing Celine Dion back to me, and I immediately knew we were going to be best friends after that. Yeah,
Carrie could be a comedian. Like, she tells a story unlike any, she's a captivating storyteller unlike anybody I've ever seen. Like, she's incredible. I mean, on top of being an incredible singer, musician, songwriter, but like, she's also hilarious.
Yeah, she's hilarious. And also, you mentioned Bart Page, who's in PAC. Her husband Nick James plays with Bart sometimes.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's one of the things I really miss about living in Austin is
everybody knows everybody.
Everyone knows everybody, and the ability to just go see a show like that on a Thursday.
Yeah,
you know, we're an hour away from that, and I miss kind of hopping around and seeing that. And the Austin music scene, when I moved there, I just remember going to watch like Bonnie Bishop at Saxon.
Yeah.
Robert O'Keen was there, and I was like, I don't belong here. I don't in with these people. Everyone was just so good. And then I think it makes you get better because everyone around you in Austin is so
absolutely
incredible.
Absolutely. Aww. Yeah, it's a city full of wonderful musicians for sure.
Yeah. And a city that has Ham.
Oh, dude.
Do you guys
actually, you were just
do Ham stuff?
Yeah.
I'm part of the musician advisory committee. So I don't know how that, I mean, it's fun. It's good. I love Ham and they've done a lot for me. So being on the committee is like just a way to try to give back and to give helpful input and just try to do helpful things.
That's so lovely. So Ham is the Health Alliance for Austin Musicians, and I did it for a long time, and really they don't ask anything of you except if you want to play a concert for them once a year, which I was like, I'll play a concert for you once a day.
Yeah.
For health insurance and dental.
Seriously,
and
it has been so helpful. I'm so grateful for them. And we do, we try to play the Ham Day every year, and then past that, almost all of our shows we do some kind of fundraising for Ham to give back to them.
You guys are great. And I also saw you guys were doing swan song things.
Yes.
I've done a few song swan. Paul just got his first offer for a song
swan songs.
Edit it out. But swan songs, they have people at their end of life phase.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They provide music for families and people that are basically kind of at the last of their days, just to kind of bring them comfort and just so they don't feel so lonely. Music really is a healing thing. And even if it's sad in the moment for the musician, you know, to be kind of there and see that, it's very healing for the family and for the person.
Absolutely. But I think I brought it up too because every time I see you guys, you're just doing something cool and something great and always getting better. And then you also do all of these really great things for your community, which I think is wonderful.
Thank you. And yeah, we love our community. That's the one way we can give back, you know,
to the people that provide us this beautiful house that we are in.
That's right. The Goose and Leander. What do you know about the Goose?
Yeah.
It's all right. You could just try to wing it.
I wanted to throw, because we're almost out of time, but I wanted to make sure I didn't miss anything. And I was thinking there was a stat, and I didn't write it down correctly, but were you the first, something about being the first at Moody Theater first?
We were the first band to play Moody Center. Yeah, the first Austin band.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that was wild.
Who was the guy that we played with?
think it was Bon Jovi.
Oh yeah, Bon Jovi.
Oh, never heard of her. That is incredible.
It was amazing. Yeah, it was amazing.
What's your favorite show to date? And then we're gonna.
I think maybe our live recording at Antone's. It was sold out and it was so amazing. And it's going to be put out one day, but I think we're actually going to try to turn it into an actual documentary. So we're going to kind of hold on to it for a while.
I was going to say, I haven't heard that. Yeah. So it's not out.
No, we recorded it actually May 17th, I think, or May 16th last year, May 18th of last year. And then we picked up our manager and he was like, hey, we really need to focus on a studio album. And so, you know, we can do all these other things. Yeah. And we were like, okay, we're on board with that. And how this is such a cool project. And we had like an 8 film crew like come in and like record. It just looks really nice. And but we've also been recording a documentary or with a guy that does documentaries for the last 10 years. So I think it's going to get swallowed into the bigger project. And maybe in like another 10 years, we'll put out a movie from like our beginning to hopefully when we're like massively successful and playing Red Rocks.
Yes. And you stay together for another 100 years.
Yeah.
That's so beautiful. I know you want to hear something super sad. I'm putting out a record at the end of this year called 20 Years in Texas because I've been here 20 years. I moved here when I was 3 years old. Just kidding. I don't really care. I also don't like making age jokes because I don't care about getting older. Dude, I actually enjoy it.
You know what? Every day is like, it's like, oh, cool. Let's do this again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not everyone got so lucky that they could live another year, you know? I think it's important to celebrate that you're still kicking. And like, people get weird about birthdays sometimes. I'm like, no, dude, we're the lucky ones.
Violet's rolling her eyes because she. Don't talk to her about age or birthdays.
I don't like to think about it.
Well, you are like the most hottest person.
I know.
You don't get to complain about anything.
I know, right?
That's my wife.
That's my wife. Well, Madam Radar, I could not be more excited about my onomatopoeia friends joining me today. Terribly sorry about that. And by this time, you already have done your record debuts, and you might be on a cruise when this comes
That's
out.
That's right. In the sunshine, baby.
Enjoy.
Can't wait for a tan.
I can't wait to hear this record. Produced by Superlin. Holy cow, you guys. That's so cool.
Well, just
cool.
So you know, we listen to Only Vans when we're rocking down the road. And my brother's always my co-pilot. And literally, he's like, what do you want to listen to? I'm like, can we put on Brie?
He's like, God, this girl again.
No, it's actually really fun to listen to. So thanks. Yeah, put our album on next time you're rolling down the road.
Yeah, of course. I can't wait. I've already listened to all your stuff that comes out. And a lot of times when I'm driving, and if you put something out, it pops up every time. So can't wait. It will.
Thank y'all. Thanks, Kyle. Yes.
Thanks, Kyle. Producer Kyle. Thank Madam Radar, everybody. Check out their new record, Motel. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Old flat town on a one-way street. Gotta make my way. Gotta find my feet. 'Cause I'm all dressed up and I got to go. Show.